This is Brandon Satram, and you're listening to the Words of Redemption Podcast, Episode 1. This is Brandon Satram, author of the Words of Redemption blog at brandonsatram.com, and welcome to episode 1 of the Words of Redemption podcast. Since it's obviously a little bit more of a commitment to listen to a 15 or 20 minute podcast compared to just reading a simple blog post, I thought I would just keep this first one kind of simple. And my intention with these podcasts is most of the time just to take an opportunity to read some of the stuff that I've been working on. For starters, that would be poetry, short stories that I've written, segments of short stories that are unpublished, segments of stories that are going to be published, and also as I dive back over the next several weeks into getting into my novel, probably also portions of that as well. For this first podcast, I'm going to read a segment from a story that I wrote in January and February of this year called Until Durango. And Until Durango is my first foray into crime, mobster, genre fiction. The story was a lot of fun to write, and it's one that I've continued to work on over the last couple of months. I've submitted it to an online literary journal, I think in February, and that was rejected about a month and a half later. And since then, I've decided to rework it to really rethink the story, to change some of the things that are in the story itself, and also try to tighten it up and get some other feedback. I think I probably submitted it a little bit too early, but that's fun. That's part of the fun, to get an opportunity to get those things out there and just see how they do. So I wanted to, as a part of reworking and as a part of rewriting it, read a segment to you all. I know I talk a lot on my blog about how much I love to write fiction, how much that's been a real passion of mine as I've been getting into, but to those of you that have known me for a long time or that have read my blog for the last 6 months, you know that I haven't really put any of that out there, primarily because of just quirks and nuances about publishing things on your blog and how those, whether or not those count as published to a journal or magazine or any other publication. And so I figured I would just start recording some of those things in a podcast so that you all had an opportunity to hear some of the things that I've been working on, some of my stories, and also so that I can get feedback. That is ultimately one of the things that I'm hoping for by recording some of these things, is that you all take an opportunity to listen to the podcast and either at the Podomatic page where the podcast is going to be hosted, or hopefully at brandonsatram.com, the Words of Redemption blog, stop on by and give me some feedback on these individual stories and let me know what you think. So without further ado, I give you the first half of Until Durango. Eric walked into the grimy, dim Manhattan diner and surveyed the room. He was looking for an old friend. It was 3 a.m., but he wasn't surprised to see 4 tables occupied and 2 men at the lunch counter. The hulking men at the counter were talking in hushed tones. One of the men looked at Eric, moved his eyes to his midsection, then turned back to the conversation, his slumped shoulders stretching an Armani suit to its limits. One of the booths held 4 individuals, talking as though they had the diner to themselves. They were obviously drunk, and Eric assumed they were visiting the diner for a post-bar-hopping meal before stumbling off to bed. He glanced at the party table, and one of its members looked in Eric's direction. He held Eric's gaze before being pulled back into the conversation by a crescendo of laughter. 2 booths back from the revelers sat a man and wife trying with great success not to speak to one another. The man was dressed in a tuxedo and was staring out the plate-glass diner window that bordered their booth while nursing a cup of coffee. The wife sat across the booth in an emerald green evening gown with matching emerald necklace and earrings. The gown formed on her body like it was tailored for her figure. She was also staring out the window, but rather than coffee, she was unceremoniously drinking from a thin silver flask. The final 2 booths contained solitary individuals. A man who looked to be in his 60s and homeless occupied the one closest to the door. His face was dirty, and his thick white beard had a disheveled look that its owner matched with a green army coat, torn-up jeans, and laceless ankle-high brown boots. He was picking at his fingernails and mumbling to himself. He looked up at Eric and narrowed his eyes. He stopped picking at his fingers for a moment, but continued mumbling. He nodded, and then returned focus to his dirt-encased hands. The last booth, all the way in the back of Zeke's seats, held his old friend. Eric walked over and slid into the orange and brown seat. "Long time," Eric said. Reggie Galloway didn't reply. He looked up, and Eric saw a vacancy in his eyes, as though he was really looking past him. Reggie opened his mouth to speak, then closed it as the waitress walked up. "Hi, hon, what can I get you?" she asked Eric, never actually looking at either man. Eric suspected that at this diner, at 3 a.m., you quickly learn not to look at or learn too much about your customers. "Just coffee, thanks," Eric said. "You ready, hon?" she turned to Reggie after scribbling down Eric's order. He looked at the waitress, a tall 40-something blonde with dark roots, wearing a peach-colored uniform and white tennis shoes. Her hair was in a ponytail, though much of it seemed to float in every direction around her head, turning into an imperfect halo when she stood directly under the light. It was a fitting hairstyle for 3 a.m. Her name tag said Grace. Reggie, who was 20 years older than Eric, looked up from his coffee. He looked old and very tired, but not like everyone awake at this time does. He looked like he hadn't slept in days or even weeks. There were dark gray bags under his eyes, and his face looked pale and washed out. The skin on his face seemed to sag, and his hair looked grayer than the last time Eric had seen him. He was wearing a blue dress shirt and a navy blue sport coat. Both looked wrinkled, as if they were either picked up off the floor or never removed. "Yeah," Reggie said. There was no hiding the fatigue in his voice, or maybe it was resignation. "I'll have a 3-egg omelet, 2 slices of sourdough toast, and some bacon." "Sure thing, sweetie," Grace replied. She scratched Reggie's order on her pad and walked off to fetch Eric's coffee. Reggie looked back down at his, took a drink, and looked up. "Hey, Eric, how you been?" Reggie wasn't from New York originally and only lived here for half the year, but when he was on the island, he slid into a New York accent like one slides into a greasy diner booth. "Fine, Reggie. Just fine, I guess." Eric didn't feel fine, and he couldn't remember a time when he had, but this was small talk. Business came after Reggie ate. He knew that much. "How about those Yankees?" Eric asked, looking for something to say. He didn't really follow baseball. "Ah, screw the Yankees," Reggie said without pause. He said it loud enough to draw the attention of the raucous table near the front of the diner. One of the men turned to look before smiling, and the homeless man at the front pumped his fist and issued a loud "Yeah!" before returning to his fingernails. Reggie grunted and stared across the booth. Eric said nothing in response. Better to let him speak. But Reggie didn't continue. He simply grunted again and pulled a thin silver flask out of his sport coat. He unscrewed the cap and dumped the amber liquid into his nearly empty coffee cup. Eric tried not to notice the initials IG etched on the front, or the way Reggie allowed his fingers to linger in the grooves of the etching as he poured. "So what do you want, Eric?" Reggie asked as he placed the flask back in his coat pocket. Something had shifted in his demeanor. It was harder, meaning that small talk was over. "I thought I told you that I never wanted to see you again." Eric laughed, swallowed, and ran his trembling right hand through his thick brown hair. Reggie's eyes, now very much alive, bored into him. "I know what you said, but I can't go to anyone else. I need your help." Reggie's eyebrows rose only slightly, but it was interest enough. Before Eric could continue, the waitress came back with a cup of coffee, a refill for Reggie, and his order. When she walked away, he spoke again. "What's the deal anyway? You never talk business before you eat." He laughed, hoping Reggie would too. "Have I been away that long?" "That order wasn't for me, Eric. It's for you." Reggie slid the plate across the dirty table. "I'm willing to listen to what you have to say, and I expect to be entertained, or that meal right there will be your last." Eric stared and waited for Reggie to smile, but there was none. So he ate in silence while Reggie drank his coffee, knowing better than to attempt anything else. He was serious. As he scarfed down the subpar omelet and bland toast, he thought about his current situation. 6 months ago, Reggie, Eric's boss and surrogate father, told him never to call or come see him again. Eric respected his reasons, and he knew that coming here might cost him his life, but he was driven by desperation. He'd rather die here by Reggie's hand than see Jenny die by George O'Bannon's. More than an even trade, he thought. there you have it. That was the first part of Until Durango. I hope you enjoyed it. This is the end of the Words of Redemption podcast, episode 1. Stop on by the blog at www.brandonsatram.com, and there will be a post up for this podcast. There will be an embedded player on this page that might actually be where you're listening to it, but if you're listening to it any other way, stop on by the blog and leave a comment. Let me know what you thought about the story. Thanks a lot, and have a great Tuesday and a great week. Bye-bye.